Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Later this hour, we will introduce the first ever Uncommon Economic Indicators video contest. We want your short videos showing an uncommon economic indicator in your neighborhood, and the best videos will get a screening at our green space and also at a rooftop films event. So we'll tell you about that coming up later this hour. And we'll talk to NPR religion correspondent Barbara Bradley Haggerty, who does such a good job covering religion for the network. She's got a new book about the search for the science of spirituality. Now, NPR religion correspondent Barbara Bradley Haggerty is with us now. She has a new book called Fingerprints of God, The Search for the Science of Spirituality. Hi, Barbara. I appreciate your religion reporting on NPR. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Oh, thank you, and I appreciate being here. I feel that I want to pledge so and encourage other listeners, too.
No, employees of NPR and their families are not eligible. No, that's not true. let's jump in on one idea in your book, which is the idea of a God gene that you say some people may have. What is this supposed God gene?
Right. I mean, the science about the God gene is pretty much in its infancy. But there's an NIH researcher, a geneticist named Dean Hamer, and he has located what he believes to be the God gene. It's what's it called? VMAT2 gene. And his theory is that if people have a certain type of this gene, I mean, everyone has it, but if you have a certain kind of type of this gene, you will be more open to spiritual experience. You will be more open to the transcendent. Now, having said that, this gene actually accounts for less than 1% of one's tendency towards spirituality. So it's not like the Zeus of God genes. It's more like the little God gene. But what we do believe is true is that because of twin studies, we believe that some people have a genetic tendency towards spirituality. And in other words, spirituality seems to run in families. And while we haven't located a God gene so far, I think scientists believe that we will locate a number of genes that tend one towards spirituality, just like any other personality trait or a disease like schizophrenia, that there will be a genetic basis.
How are you defining spirituality in this case?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I don't define it in any religious way. What I look at is when people have an encounter with the divine, whether they are Sufi or Christian or Buddhist or spiritual but not religious, when they have this kind of transformative encounter with the divine, something happens. They experience what they describe as light, as love. They often have an out-of-body experience. They often feel that the experience is more real than their waking reality. And the big thing is they come back very different from this experience. I interviewed really like hundreds of people, and they come back different, thinking that, in fact, there may be a spiritual dimension that we occasionally touch.
Listeners, have you had a transcendent experience, and has it permanently changed you? Post to our website at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and tell your transcendent story. And there are other things that scientists are measuring along these lines, like a possible God spot in the brain, separate from the genetics, and a certain set of what you refer to as God chemicals, certain chemicals that are seen as central to spiritual experience. Do you want to go into that at all without getting too technical?
Sure, I won't get too technical. I mean, basically, scientists believe, looking at people with temporal lobe epilepsy and studying the temporal lobe, that the temporal lobe is the seat of spirituality because it mediates things like memory and sound and emotions. And what they've found is that some people have ecstatic spiritual experiences, which very much sound like, you know, the mystics, Teresa of Avila and Moses and others. And so they have kind of zeroed in on the temporal lobe as an area of the brain that's active when people have spiritual experiences. In terms of the God chemical, there is no one God chemical, but what scientists at Johns Hopkins University and other places have found is that psychedelics like LSD and magic mushrooms and others look a lot like serotonin. And when you give someone a pill, that chemical bonds with a certain receptor, which creates a cascade of spiritual experiences, you know, the sound, the visions, the out-of-body experiences. And so what they've realized is that they can actually spark a synthetic spiritual experience. And the reason that's really interesting is because they can now, you know, you can't, spiritual experiences are kind of slippery little fellows. You know, they don't happen on command. But if you can give someone a tablet, a pill, you can cause a spiritual experience, slip him into a brain scanner, and watch a spiritual experience unfold in the brain. And in that way, we kind of get a clue as to what is going on in the brains of mystics when they have spiritual experiences. So it's really fascinating research.
But what does all that lead to in terms of any meaning? I mean, when you talk about spirituality that way, is it kind of a solipsistic or narcissistic idea of what experiencing God is, a certain kind of spiritual high, like sitting on top of a mountain, when really spirituality is about being a moral person and performing selfless acts in the world?
Well, I mean, that's an excellent point. The spiritual experiences that I studied, I wanted to understand kind of transformative spiritual experiences and whether they were actually real. I talked to people, for example, who had taken drugs and also had a spontaneous spiritual experience where, like, God just happened to them. And they said there's a profound difference between that synthetic drug-induced spiritual experience and the more, what they would consider the more divine one.
In terms of how it changes them as people?
And what they felt like. I mean, one person said to me, you know, when I took a magic mushroom, I felt like, oh my gosh, I've just had a toxic mushroom. I know what's going on. I can step aside and see this is not a divine experience. But what I should say is that the people whom I talked with who had these experiences did become different people. They became more moral. They became more other-centered. Their ambitions changed. They were no longer, you know, just trying to climb the ladder, so to speak. They became very, very different people as a result of the experience. And so I think it's hard to decouple them. The spiritual experience caused a transformation, and they were more moral as a result.
NPR religion correspondent Barbara Bradley Haggerty, my guest on WNYC. Her new book is called Fingerprints of God, The Search for the Science of Spirituality. If all those things exist that scientists are measuring, God genes, God chemicals, God spots in the brain, are we talking about God at all or human biochemistry?
You know, and that's a $64,000 question, which I don't think science can understand. I mean, I think of this a little bit as the science of spirituality is a Rorschach test. And what you believe about spirituality beforehand, before you look at the evidence, is kind of what you believe at the end. So a scientist who's a materialist can say, look, this is just brain chemistry. This is what, you know, during near-death experiences, it's what a brain does when it's shutting down. It creates these hallucinations or these delusions. Another person can look at that same evidence and say, no, you know, we have been wired by a divine creator to be able to connect with that creator. That, sure, there's brain chemistry, but it's reflecting a larger encounter here. And science can't referee that question right now. I'm not sure if it ever will be able to referee the question, ever be able to referee it.
And sure that it matters, because if you look at what your book is really about, you're writing about these spiritual experiences that people have that then transform them into people who are more connected to their worlds. And whether that function is created by some, you know, superhuman intelligence that we call God, or whether it's just part of the human experience that happened by chance, but we learn that it's important, it kind of doesn't matter whether there's a quote-unquote God creating this or not.
I have to say, though, Brian, that it matters to the people who went through it. And that's you know, I've thought about this. Is this kind of like listening to a great piece of classical music? You know, a lot of people, like Richard Dawkins, have transcendent experiences when they listen to wonderful music. But does it change them?
And he's an atheist.
He's an atheist, absolutely. He's a very pronounced and vocal atheist. But the spiritual experience seems to actually change these people. It actually makes them firm believers that there is more than this. And so while maybe you and I don't know whether there is, in fact, I'm sure that if you went and interviewed the people that I talked with, they would put their hand on the Bible or the Quran or whatever it would be and swear that what they went through was a divine experience and there is a creator.
Before we run out of time, I want to make sure to touch the personal side of this book. You grew up in Christian Science and left the religion, but you explored some things about it for this book. Did you understand your own childhood religion better as a result of doing this book or even come back to it in a certain way?
You know, that's such a great question. I did. I came back to a profound respect for Christian Science. As you know, Christian Scientists don't believe in going to doctors or using medicine or anything like that.
In fact, there's that story in the news right now of a court ordering
yes.
a Christian Science couple to get chemotherapy for their child who's sick with cancer when they would rather rely on faith.
Right. I'm actually. Is it a Christian Science family? I know it's a faith healing family.
Oh, maybe that. Okay. Forgive me.
Yeah, I think it's a different family.
Okay.
But that's okay. But Christian Scientists have been in the news for that very reason.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're absolutely right in that. What I found, while I would never give up Tylenol or stop going to the doctor or anything like that, what I did find is a more profound respect for Christian Science because essentially this religion, which was created back in the 1800s, forecasted or presaged this whole area of mind-body medicine by about 100 years. I mean, now scientists call it psychoneuroimmunology, that my thoughts can affect my brain, which can affect my brain chemistry and affect my immune system. So the idea that thoughts can affect your body is now fairly standard science. What's less standard is the notion that my thoughts, Brian, can affect your body, and that's very, very controversial. But I explored all the prayer studies and came out at the end thinking that a lot more research has to be done about this, that there is no easy answer about whether prayer works or not.
Barbara Bradley Haggerty, you can hear her religion reporting on NPR, and now she has a book called Fingerprints of God, The Search for the Science of Spirituality. Fascinating stuff, Barbara. Thank you so much for coming on.
And thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.